This is the Cardboard Cave Podcast.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Cardboard Cave Podcast. We are back with a new episode. I know last week we didn't do an episode. We did announce it on the previous episode because I was going to be busy, and we were going to be doing the episode on Thursday, but due to scheduling, some of our hosts weren't able to do the show last week, but we're going to continue doing our shows every Wednesday at 9. We attempted to go live on Kick, but apparently the stream key was not communicating with StreamYard, so we're here in back at Twitch. So don't forget, guys, that you guys can follow us in all of our social media as Cardboard Cave Podcast as well. Go to altersleeves.com/cardboardcave. And then you guys can get 5% off your order. And not only 5% off your order, you will be supporting us as well with every purchase that you do. And Alter Sleeves is an amazing company that does amazing sleeves to spice up your decks, let it be Commander, Modern, Standard, or any format that you're playing. So let's go ahead and let's invite our host for today. We have another new special guest like we had last week. So we're going to be presenting your favorite of them all, the master of the dark arts, the one and only JP.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, JP? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Been bringing a few stuff.
That's awesome. Are you excited that we're going to be talking about a little bit about the previews that we had for Doctor Who?
Yes, I was gonna say I'm a very big fan, but I just really like Doctor Who. And I got stuck in the 12th Doctor. I haven't seen any of the 13th Doctor, but most people tell me that I'm not missing much, so.
Yeah, for 13, you're not missing them. You're not missing anything, really. You're not. I'm gonna be honest with you. I got to see it completely, and if you want, just look for a recap for the two seasons that 13 has been, and you're fine. Oh shit, I forgot to put in my dog inside the house. Okay, so I'm gonna present Gomez for a second, and I'll be out for a little while. So here we go, we're gonna be presenting our special guest of today, Gomez.
Hi.
Ooh, what's up, man?
What's up? I'm also pretty excited about the Doctor Who spoilers, but I've never watched Doctor Who. I started watching it like 2 days ago because I've been... Give me a second, my camera's being... Anyway.
Can't focus on your beautiful face.
Yep. So I've been... Won't focus. Beautiful. Let's see if I can...
You've been trying to binge watch?
Yeah, no, I haven't been trying to binge watch. I've just been watching a couple episodes here and there whenever I can find the time, because I started working yesterday, so.
Yeah. How has that been? Where did you start? Like, did you start, like...
I started at Eccleston. I started at 9th, yeah. I was told that earlier Doctor Who's not really worth it if you want to get into the zeitgeist, right?
Yeah.
I just went straight for Eccleston.
I'm excited for
Rose Tyler's terrible acting.
Oh
my God. And Ronnie says, Gomez!
Hey!
And then Chopper LaBoy Gomez hype.
That's Chopper's Vernon.
So I always say that when these random things happen during the podcast, it's because the podcast is going to be good. And there's always something happens when we go live. Either the internet gets really slow, or my microphone gets crazy, or some of us get late. I think that the best one is Chris, when he just like appears out of the blue when we're like halfway through the podcast and he's like, I'm here.
That's pretty on brand.
So guys, these past few weeks, San Diego Comic-Con was live. So a lot of people were at San Diego Comic-Con, and not only a lot of people, a lot of geeks and a lot of artists and much more, but Wizard of the Coast was as well there to present a couple of panels. And these panels presented not only Wilds of Eldraine, it actually presented more cards for the Doctor Who Commander decks. And I'm really excited because one of the things that I did mention in a TikTok on our TikTok channel is that I am looking forward to making a commander based off the Daleks. And I was like, I want a legendary creature Dalek, but no. I already knew that Dravos was going to be one of the cards, but yeah, they presented Dravos that day as well. So let's go ahead and show the cards that were presented that day. Give me one second. Okay, like always, JP, I can't see the chat, so whenever somebody speaks, tell me. Okay, so...
Sure thing.
Let me see, because Mythic Spoilers probably does not have them all.
You're passing a few of them?
Yeah, but this is Wilds of Eldraine. I was looking for the Doctor Who ones.
Oh, yeah, Doctor Who, I think I had them.
I know that MTG Goldfish has them, but I don't have the link.
Magic Spoiler has them, too.
Yeah, Magic Spoiler has them.
The only thing that Magic Spoiler doesn't have all of them, because the... It only has the new cards, because like the farewell with the really heartbreaking moment isn't there.
Okay, let me stop sharing this. Share the new one. There we go. Okay, so Doctor Who, here we go. So we have, they presented to us that day. They presented to us a couple of cards. Time Lord Regeneration, The TARDIS, Exterminate. I think that there were a couple of cards presented on the first day of San Diego Comic-Con. Not all of them. On the second panel is when they presented it more, like Jasmine Khan, The Veil Yard, The Parting of the Ways, The Foretold Soldiers, The Flux, The Face of Foe. If you guys are a very big Doctor Who fans, the Face of Foe is a very important character in the series.
No spoilers. Gomez
hasn't. Yeah, I only just met that character in the second episode of Eccleston.
Gomez doesn't know.
But he doesn't know who it is.
I'm watching the series.
It's the Face of Foe.
The Face of Foe, yeah, but...
It's the Face of Foe.
He does not know who the Face of Bow is.
It's the Face of Bow. The Face of Bow is the Face of Bow. Just leave it at that.
So we got one of the Doctor's companions, Sarah Jane Smith, Rose Tyler as well, River Song, Missy.
Farewell.
Four Knox. We have one of the reprints that was announced as well. That was Farewell. I really do love that Farewell, because that is one of the most heartbreaking farewells in Doctor Who. Death in Heaven, City of Death, and then we have a couple of the Doctors, the 13th Doctor, the 10th that was already spoiled before, the 4th, and Davros, Dalek Creator. So guys, tell me, which of these cards caught your mind? And what do you think of some of the mechanics that have been announced throughout the San Diego Comic-Con panels, because they still have not yet explained. I think Villainous Act is the only one that they haven't yet showed the whatchamacallit
mechanic.
The mechanic, exactly.
I think it is. It's on go up. It's on Missy.
Is on Missy?
Yeah, it's on Missy. You, Villainous Choice, it's basically you target a player and they have to make a choice. It's either something bad for them or something good for you.
I feel like villainous choice will vary depending on what is causing the villainous choice, similar to how the will of the council works.
Yeah. Definitely, so though.
Missy's particular villainous choice is each artifact creature you control deals one damage to that opponent, or you draw a card and chaos ensues, which is another thing.
There's another cool one. I don't know who had it. It was like either you choose an opponent and they either discard a card or you draw a card. I don't know who has it. And there's also, I think it's the
I think it's right here.
Yeah, that one. That guy.
Davos. Davros. Then each at the beginning of your end step, create a 3/3 black Dalek artifact creature token with menace. If an opponent lost 3 or more life this turn, then each opponent who lost 3 or more life this turn faces a villainous choice. You draw a card or that player discards a card.
I can get really crazy, Grixis.
Yes.
Just bolt somebody in.
That card is oh my god, I'm so excited for him.
I think it's also what's that other card? Flame I use it in Abaddon. It's flame something. It does 3 to everybody or 2 to everybody. I'm not entirely sure.
I think I know which card you're saying, but I don't remember right now off the bat. Mm-hmm. One of the other cards that I'm really that out of the I really like, because the little group that we have on WhatsApp was saying that our Whovians were like, it's really weird why the TARDIS is not a legendary artifact, because it can't be a legendary artifact. If they would have went to that route, we would have 13 different TARDISes instead of only one, due to the fact that throughout the series, if you are a Doctor Who fan, each Doctor has a different personality and a different wardrobe. So the TARDIS changes inside depending on the personality of the Doctor. Especially that the first Doctor, the TARDIS was not a police box at first. It was like a cylinder. Really interesting. When you reach to Capaldi, you will know what I mean.
Also, just for the fact that the TARDIS is not the only TARDIS, there's several TARDISes. So
exactly.
The card I'm most excited for is one of my favorite characters. It's Riversong, and I'm sure Gomez might be interested in this card.
Yeah, that one's pretty fun. But now, 13 is really I'm really loving 13. 13th Doctor.
So, Riversong reads, it's one blue and a red for a 2/2 legendary creature, human Time Lord Rogue. She has meat in reverse. You draw cards from the bottom of your library rather than from the top. And spoilers, whenever an opponent scries, surveils, or searches their library, put a +1 counter on Riversong, then Riversong deals damage to that player equal to its power. So she's a stacks, kind of like a Staxy piece in blue-red, which is not that common, in addition to having a very unique mechanic of drawing from the bottom of the deck. People have already discovered that Time Stream Navigator, a 2-mana pirate that you can pay 4 mana to tap it, put it on the bottom of the library, and take an extra turn, but only activate it if you you have the...
Oh, the City's Blessing.
The City's Blessing. That's it. That's an infinite combo with Riversong already. There are cards that put things from your graveyard to the bottom of your library, and getting a easy recursion in colors like blue-red is not that common. So it is very, very interesting where this could go. And I really like just cool, interesting mechanics that's not like game breaking, because like another card in the MTG that just reminds me of this is Grenzo, the prison warden, the red black Grenzo. He puts you put the bottom card of your library into the graveyard, and if it's a creature with power less than Grenzo, less or equal to Grenzo, you put it into play. So it also like works with interesting mechanics that way.
And I think one of the Balrogs in the Lord of the Rings set dies and goes to the bottom, right?
Yeah.
It's a four-mana Balrog. I don't remember which one it is, but I remember it was really aggressively statted because if it dies, it just goes into the bottom.
Yeah.
So for me, at least for me, for now, because I know that we're still missing more, but for now, one of the things that I'm like mostly excited is the 10th Doctor. He is 3 and is it legendary creature Time Lord Doctor. He has one of the first abilities or static abilities is Alonzi. Whenever you attack, exile a card from top of your library until you exile a non-land card. Put 3 time counters on it. If it doesn't have suspend, it gains suspend. Then it has Timey Wimey. That's you pay 7 and time travel 3 times, activate only as a sorcery. So for each suspend card you own and each permanent you control with a time counter on it, you may add or remove a time counter, then do it 2 more times, and it's a 3/5. I really do like it. The reason why I like it is because it's something that I have not played that much to suspend, but being able, I imagine that this commander will have like a lot of cards that will manipulate the suspend counters, and there are other cards that I think that like Fornox has Vanishing 4, so you can manipulate that and keep giving it more vanishing counters, and then you can have a 3-drop that at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase you can draw a card. So it seems like a fun card, you know, to play in a commander game.
Yeah, there's already a nice combo with the 10th Doctor.
There is.
Your opponent, one of your opponents needs at least 8 cards in hand.
Okay.
7 cards is fine, but 8 cards would be ideal or more. 8 or more. Like 7
8 is
7
sweet
or
spot.
More would be 8 would be sweet spot, but 7 is fine and more would be welcome. So, it's a card called Rousing Refrain.
Yeah.
It's 3 red for a sorcery, and you add a red for each card in target opponent's hand. You don't lose the mana as the phase's end, but the key thing is that when it resolves, you exile it with 3 time counters. So if your opponent has more than seven cards, you add more than 7 mana using 7 of those to time travel.
Okay, unit.
And then you can get Rousing Refrain again, and then you can time travel to Rousing Refrain again, and you get in. As long as your opponent has more than 7 cards, it's infinite mana, and if your opponent has exactly seven cards, then you're just casting a sorcery. Okay.
We get infinite mage crafts. We get infinite. What's this guy's name? The goblin that does 2 when you cast an instant or sorcery.
Gutter snipe,
stuff like that.
Yep.
That's dope. I like it.
That's just on him. We don't know what else time travels.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So
that's what I'm saying. You know, one of the things that I do like about the set is that if you are a Whovian or you are somebody that wants to give it a try, it's a good. This is what happened with Warhammer and with what happened with Lord of the Rings. So these sets that bring these IPs that everybody knows, or probably they've never tried it to watch it or to read it, they can get that interest on like, hey, you know what? I do want to give Doctor Who a try or Lord of the Rings, you know. It's amazing. So Gomez, tell me why the 13th Doctor? Why?
Mostly because everybody who knows my playstyle, you know, I love playing stuff from anywhere other than my hand, and the 13th Doctor kind of does that. She's 1 in Simic for a 2/2 Time Lord Doctor with the ability Paradox. Whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, put a 1/1 counter on target creature. And then the second static ability is Team TARDIS. At the beginning of your end step, untap each creature you control with a counter on it. There's a companion. She's a red companion and she just taps and impulses. So just right off the rip, Yasmin Khan, yeah. Off the rip, you can tap her, exile something from the top of the deck, and then if you play it, you can put a counter on her and untap her at end step, and then just keep tapping her again and getting more draw. And then you can just put a, because of it being teamer, you have a bunch of cascade stuff in there. You have ramp, you have dorks, you have a lot of cool stuff to untap. You can also do the infinite mana combo with Vigian Graph Mage and that one
Incubation Druid.
Yeah, the Incubation Druid. You have a lot of cool stuff, and because I like playing stuff from anywhere other than my hand, that one spoke to me a lot. The 10th is also really fun because Suspend is a mechanic that in my early days of playing Magic I loved, because it was a way to get something like Profane Tutor. It's like, oh, you get a Demonic Tutor, you just have to wait, but it's a Demonic Tutor. Same with Inevitable Betrayal, which is bribery and all of that. So I really like the mechanic.
Yeah. At least for me, the other card that I would say that I'm super excited is Davros, the Dalek creator. I really do hope that there is a Dalek that is a legendary creature to, have that. Well, depending if it's good, right? Have that as the commander. But, I'm fine with playing with Davros. It seems really fun. Plus, I want to use this Exterminate card. It's like, you can go bonkers if you keep replicating. That's why I'm super excited about it.
I also like fourth, because fourth is again placed from anywhere other than my hand, and I really like Falco Spara, but fourth being a Time Lord, you can use one of the companions to add one add a good color, mm-hmm. like a color that's not necessarily banned, like in Falco Spara's case, but you can build bunch of different stuff.
I don't think I've seen you with Sultai.
I've never played Sultai. That's correct. I've never played Sultai or Selesnya, but I just refuse to play Selesnya.
It'd be interesting to see you not just you, but just in general, see a companion, like a doctor's companion in Black Identity. I don't know if any one of the companions apply. If anything, maybe Clara.
Yeah, there's probably gonna be at least one, because
probably I think that Clara would make sense to be the companion that brings the dark, the dark aspect of companion.
The 12th Doctor was supposed to be like a bit more gritty and like older, because he was being Peter Capaldi, an older man who's supposed to be a bit more serious tone. So
yeah, because for instance, so the 10th Doctor's companion is Rose. So Rose is white. Sarah Jane Smith is the 4th Doctor's companion, another white. Then you have the 13th Doctor that has the red companion, this Jasmine Khan.
Yeah, but the 13th Doctor. The 11th Doctor, whatever his card may be, will have, he technically has two companions. So I'm not sure how that will work.
You mean, but it's kind of odd because the 13th Doctor has three companions. It's not only Jasmine.
My only gripe with probably playing fourth as a Sultai is that he really likes historic spells, and Black doesn't really have too many crazy historic spells. I mean, it has a couple, but not too many crazy ones.
We just need to await and see what happens to the rest of the spoilers. But spoilers. Okay, but before we move to Wilds of Eldraine, obviously we have Plane Chase cards for this set. But one of the things that did caught my eye, me being somebody that loves Doctor Who, is the showcase cards. The showcase cards look phenomenal. And my favorite is the TARDIS. Out of them all, because due to the fact that the frame is the TARDIS, just having a simple art with the TARDIS with an open door, it's amazing. We got them as well in extended art, as well, and serialized. So this is where it's going to be interesting, because just for all of you to know, the Doctor Who set is only going to bring a collector booster box. It's not going to bring a draft booster box nor a set booster box. It's only the commanders and the collector booster boxes. So in this case, if this product gets to sell really well, then the booster boxes, I imagine that the cards will, you know, be a little bit much more easy to grab. But at least for myself, if I can get one of each of the showcases, I'm a happy cookie. They don't have to be foil.
I can't wait to see what they're gonna do. I can't wait to see what they're gonna do with the gimmick foil. Because a lot of these sets have like, because you know, a lot of these sets have a gimmick foil, like
surge foil,
halo foil, silver screen foil, galaxy foil.
I think that they did mention one of the foilings in San Diego Comic-Con, but I don't remember on the top of my head. The other thing that I want to mention, all of the basic lands have a TARDIS in their artwork.
For the life of me, I couldn't find it in the swamp. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right there. So guys, besides Doctor Who, they did show a couple of cards for Wild of Eldraine. So we're going to go back to Eldraine in future upcoming sets. It's going to be releasing on September 8th. And this Friday as well, Commander Masters is going to be out. So if you guys did pre-order cards on TCG Player, I'm very sorry to give you bad news, but you know, you should know that Friday and Saturday is when the prices are gonna tank. So
some of them have already tanked, like Deadly Relic is $15.
I did see.
So crazy. That full art, like borderless Deadly Relic is $15.
Yeah.
That's Exile a card in black.
Mm-hmm. So here we go. Let's go ahead and present the lands first. So we're gonna get back to the full art lands. Basic lands.
They're so pretty. They're so pretty.
They are.
I want one of each because I'm running Tainted Pact and almost everything, so I don't think I need more than one.
But yeah, those are going to be the basic lands, and as well, we're gonna get this is the one that had the weird foiling, the confetti ones. This is the one. So
confetti foil. Wow.
Confetti foil.
Looks like the foiling on some Digimon cards.
Mm-hmm.
And some Dragon Ball Super cards.
So in this case, for Wilds of Eldraine, we're gonna get a couple of reprint cards once again, and as well, we're gonna get different treatments. We're gonna have Enchanting Tales borderless cards that as well, they did present them as Japanese theme cards, because if you guys have you seen, they're all anime style art. We're gonna get a reprint of Doubling Season once again, Greater Aramacy, Necropotence. We're gonna get another reprint of Rhystic Study, another reprint for Smothering Tithe, and another reprint for Aggregated Assault.
That Necropotence makes my 30th anniversary one look like garbage.
Dude,
I like the 30th one.
Oh, I love the 30th one, but I can't resist the weed.
The mom in Rhystic Study for me is like the winner here.
Also in Dimir, in my Yuriko deck, nice.
Oh my god, everything here is beautiful. As well, we're gonna get the Enchanting Tales. So if you guys remember, back in Eldraine, there were the showcase cards I remember that, what were they called? But they had, the artwork was different because
it was just adventure cards that had that.
It was adventure cards?
It's true. The adventure cards had that. And then for the Multiverse Legends, anyone that was from Eldraine got the storybook treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of these are supposed to be all enchantments, just in case, because it's enchanting.
Yeah, and they've been doing this a lot with all the other sets, too, where you have, like, Brothers War had artifacts. Legends of the Multiverse was all legendary creatures.
Strixhaven
was all instants and sorceries.
This is supposed to be like a mystical archive type deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a set booster, you get one.
I had a lot of people. I had a lot of friends that thought this was gonna be like masterpieces.
No.
As well, we have the borderless treatment of some of the cards that were announced, like Restless Forest is already the rare lands that are going to be available in the set. They come in tap. They provide, in this case, this one provides plains and swamp, and it turns to a creature, but it's still a land. And then it says here that whenever Restless Fortress attacks, defending player loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. As well, we have Talion, the Kindly Lord, and Ashiok as well. We'll get to that. And then we have a Cradle Hoof in white.
Because Celestia needed another creature payoff.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and leave you guys to it. So guys, talk about the cards that caught your eye. For me, it's just the Enchanting Tale enchantment card. So you guys can go ahead and take it up from here and see which cards you guys want to talk about that were spoiled or previewed in San Diego Comic-Con.
Since I mostly play more high power in comparison to Gomez playing like nice EDH and CEDH, I'm gonna leave him to if he wants to talk about Talion. But I'm gonna talk about Moonshaker Cavalry. It's exactly like Crater Hoof in terms of mana cost. It's 5 white and Crater Hoof is 5 green, so it's 8 mana. Crater Hoof stats are 5/5. This is a 6/6 flyer, so it's technically better in that case. But there's a big difference because this gives flying until end of turn, which could clear a lot more blockers. But Moonshaker Cavalry itself doesn't have haste. One of the key things that I've noticed by playing Crater Hoof is that Crater Hoof itself is relevant in terms of dealing the damage for the most part. Because his body being a 5/5 haste and then his ability giving him trample is quite relevant. So this is better and worse. It's like equal. It's not. It doesn't. They are in equal standing. A lot of these effects that care about the number of creatures you control. Wizards of the Coast a few years ago said that they were going to be making sure that this effect was in white and not in green. So don't be expecting this type of effect in any other color from now on. It is a white exclusive mechanic that unfortunately has, or fortunately, has some remnants of that mechanic in the other colors. But for the most part, white's the only one that's going to be caring about the number of creatures you control.
Interesting. That really puts things in perspective for Jetmir players and Winota. It put a lot of white creatures out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's a card that they reference specifically. It's called Shamanic Revelation.
Yeah.
It's 3 green. You draw a card for each creature you control. And you gain 4 life for each creature with power 4 or greater that you control. That effect, I don't think that they'll ever print just straight up, draw a card for each creature you control in white, but something very, very similar might be coming in the future.
Yeah.
And this is Moonshaker Cavalry is a little example of that design space.
Do you think that's also going to extend to things that punish creature amount, like something like a Rakdos Charm, for example? I think it's the 3rd mode of Rakdos Charm, where you get hit for every creature you have.
Think dealing damage dealers might not be affected because red does care about a lot of creatures as well, and dealing damage equal to the number of creatures you control, and they have a few cards.
Yeah, all the goblin stuff.
The goblin stuff. That might not be affected, but I don't think it's gonna be the norm. I don't want to talk about Ashiok. We can read them, but I don't like the card.
I don't like it either. I don't know. It seems like every single other Ashiok is so much better.
Let me just read it. It's 3 black black for a 5 loyalty planeswalker. It's a legendary planeswalker, Ashiok. If you would pay life while your library has at least that many cards in it, exile the top that many cards from the top of your library instead. So that's technically a downside, especially in black.
Yeah.
Plus one, look at the top 2 cards of your library, exile one of them and put the other one into your hand. A negative two, create 2/1/1 black nightmare creature tokens with, at the beginning of combat on your turn, if a card was put into exile this turn, put a +1 counter on this creature. And -7, target player exiles the top X cards of their library, where X is the total mana value of cards you own in exile. So by planeswalker standards, this is a decent planeswalker because it enters, it can protect itself immediately, and it provides card advantage, and its ultimate might end the game. Might. But for the most part, the problem is that you're in black, and maybe not in standard currently, but in other formats, paying life and losing, like, paying life is relevant in black. We were just talking about necropotence.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, like, paying life is very, very relevant. And,
yeah, and I wonder if this guy, I wonder if the Ashiok sees necropotence cards. Because necropotence cards are exiled face down until you get them into your hand.
You pay the life, the trigger of necropotence goes to the stack, you exile them.
You exile Ashiok face up, and then you exile face down. But I'm thinking, yeah, like, I'm wondering if his ultimate sees the necropotence cards before your end step.
No,
I figured.
No, because they have to be. They have to be already, because it says you own in exile.
I think the only commander.
You don't know what they are, and they can't be revealed until the end of the turn.
Yeah, the commander that instantly came to mind for me was Frick, because he has like a bunch of really high mana black stuff that he can just throw into exile, and he will probably like reach a critical mass at some point where you can just mill people out, but it's in commander.
You're rough. Still gonna have to +1 and then +1 and then -7.
Yeah, it takes too long. It's even in Crick, it's 3 mana. Like, you don't get to 3 mana on Crick.
You don't get to
play turns, like, too many turns on Crick. Either you win or somebody stops you, that's it.
Or exactly. You're killing yourself because of life you're paying.
Yeah, or you get bolted when you got 2 life left or something. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the next card is actually fun.
Talion?
Yeah, I really like Talion.
Yeah, I really like Talion too.
So, I'm gonna read it, but... Talion, the kindly lord, 2 blue and a black for a 3/4 legendary creature fairy noble with flying. As Talion, the kindly lord, enters the battlefield, choose a number between 1 and 10. Whenever an opponent casts a spell with mana value, power, or toughness equal to the chosen number, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card.
Yeah, just say 2.
So either you say 1 or you say 2, but you never go past that. Exactly. Mostly because a lot of the value creatures, like, yes, cheap spells are a thing, and 1s and 2s are gonna be like chosen mostly because of that. But the power and toughness thing is quite relevant, because a lot of value creatures, no matter what their power, like, no matter what their mana cost, a lot of them are 2/2s, 2 toughness, mm-hmm, 2 power. And the other most common thing for value creatures is 1 toughness, 1 power. So you always choose 1 or 2. The fun thing I've seen of this deck, like this card, is people have been brewing around with Chalice of the Void. Because if you put Chalice on 1 and then put this on 2, it could be a Staxy Dimir creature. Yeah.
Or if it had white, you could also throw a Prelate in there.
Oof. You just name 3?
Yeah.
With Prelate? Or name Jesus. 2 with Prelate and then name... Yeah, or either way.
Name 1, name 3, and then drop the Eldrazi. That doesn't let you cast Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Void Winnower.
Void Winnower.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're gone.
So it's a Staxi blue black command, like legendary creature. And we don't have lots of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dimir? Something very new for Dimir.
Yeah. The 3-4 body is quite relevant because the 4 toughness is good for blocking, and the 3 power with flying is good for attacking. So you can pressure life totals decently quick, especially if you, like in Commander, you go land, Jeweled Lotus, this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Also, it can fly, which is relevant.
Yeah. It does a lot, and it's very, very, very interesting design space. I don't think it's broken at all.
Yeah, it's just fun. Yeah, it also escapes a lot of the things people are teching. Like, and I personally love this card. I'm super high on this card. The Lord of the Rings card, Stern Scolding, where it'll counter anything with 2 toughness or 2 power.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets away from that too.
No, that's true. You know, one of the cards that I am really intrigued, but this is just me as if I were to get back to play Standard, is Cruel Somnophage. I like it because one of the things that I really do like about it is the mill. So that probably we will see mill once again here, but this card is really great in not only in Standard, but it could be great as well in Modern. In Modern, you can add this card, it says, because it sees all creatures in graveyards. So if you start milling your opponent with blue black mill for Modern and you play this 2-drop, you're gonna have a big nice creature at least for a couple of turns. So it's really interesting card. It has adventure that lets you that it mills 4 cards to your opponent at the bat for 2. So it's a good card that, you know, it has a way to give the card power, and as well a way to just play the creature and have a little bit, maybe a big guy in the game or maybe not, but you will have a decent blocker at least.
He's also a pretty fun tempo creature for Umbris.
Mm-hmm.
Because Umbris cares about nightmares hitting the board, which is another which leads me to like Restless Fortress, which becomes a nightmare, also relevant.
No, and not only that, for this is a good feature if you're a commander that likes to have creatures in graveyards. You know, you can have this guy be a one-shotter. You know, like, oh, total creatures in graveyards. Oh, I don't know, 29. Oh, okay, good. So I'm gonna give him flying with this card, and or I'm gonna make it unblockable or just attack you and just one shot you because I can. You know what I mean?
Something interesting about this card for Standard is that there's a similar card like it, but hasn't seen any play. I'm not sure if this will create a deck based on it, but it's like self mill with caring about creatures. Urborg Lurgoyf is a 1 and a green. It's a creature Lurgoyf, and it came out in Dominaria Remastered. It has kicker blue and or black. As it enters, you mill 3 cards for each time it was kicked. And then Urborg Lurgoyf's power is equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard, and its toughness is equal to that number plus 1.
Okay.
So,
it might see play.
Cruel Somnophage cares about all graveyards, but you can mill yourself and then play Cruel Somnophage, so it can be big. And then Urborg Lurgoyf, you can mill yourself, put more creatures in the bin, and make him big. 2 mana big creatures are quite decent. I'm not sure what the Standard metagame right now is and how much decent removal is, for like just as destroyed creatures, or if the removal is like red based for damage, depending on that. It could depend on how viable this deck could be. But like a Sultai or blue black, actually it has to be Sultai. Like a Sultai self mill deck with a lot of creatures that you want in the graveyard might be interesting.
That is true. I completely agree. So guys, now that we've spoken about the two previews of these amazing sets that are up and coming, especially Doctor Who, because, you know, not a lot of people play standard, right? Let's go ahead and talk about, if you guys see or read our title on Twitch, the main topic of tonight is that we're going to be talking about the Magic the Gathering community here in Puerto Rico. Here at the Carper Cave, we mentioned communities in the States because most of us on the show have joined or have been part of United States communities, let it be on chats, let it be on groups, so we know or have an idea how the communities are over there, and we talk about it. And but certain events have happened here in our community that came to mind, and I just wanted to have a chat about it. So let's go ahead and give a little bit of insight of the what's what. So for all of you guys that play Magic the Gathering, let it be professional, let it be semi-professional, let it be for fun, or if you only play Commander, Wizard of the Coast always gives invitationals to local game stores, or RCQs in that case, or big events that they can go to, bigger events in the States that you can have or create your pro Magic career. There was this one situation that in the interwebs, they started, a lot of the community members started arguing that not a lot of local game stores are doing these competitive events. And not everybody, but most of the people that were on that comment section were bashing a lot of local game stores. Not only local ones from their area, but they were bashing ones from other areas. So if you guys are from the States, if you're listening or watching us, we here in Puerto Rico, we have the West side and we have the Metro side. So on the Metro, there's a bunch of local game stores there. And on the West, we have our local game stores over here as well. So just imagine a group of people, some that do play Pro Magic and some that don't, and some that just appear in those tournaments just for fun, bashing at each other, bashing on local game store owners because these events are not happening. And because of these events not happening, that's why they blame them, due to the fact that the community is dying. And that's why a lot of people are shifting from Standard, Modern, Pioneer. They're shifting from those formats to Commander. Because Commander, we all know that Commander is a very eternal format that you can play any card at any time, and it's a little bit much more cost effective you as a player. So they were blaming the local game stores for this situation. Now, fast forward from that post to most recent event that a local game store did this RCQ. They did it in a format that it is played in pro league, because just to give you guys another piece of how pro league works, if you want to be a pro player, you're not only going to be playing Standard, Modern, or Pioneer, you're not only going to be playing a format, you will be playing draft, or you will be playing sealed, because it all depends on what the RCQ or the invitational will be, and then the main events. Sometimes these main events divide in two. Probably it'll start as a draft or sealed, and then it will end as a format. I forgot the term, but it will end as a
sanctioned format. You mean?
Yeah, constructive format. Okay, sure. So it can start as draft or sealed, or end as a constructed, or the other way around. So it can start constructed and end in draft or sealed. So that's how you become a pro. That's how you play Pro Magic. So long story short, the store did the event. Only 9 players appeared on this event, and what happened? A lot of people, I'm not gonna be pointing fingers, but a lot of people went ahead, made a the local game store owner made a post talking about the event and how they're not going to continue to do these events,
And then a lot of people sat down and started writing in the comment section, pointing fingers at everybody. So guys, I'm gonna start with Gomez, because Gomez is our guest of today, for tonight. So Gomez, give me your insight. You being somebody that, at least at the time that I've known you, seen you play Commander, and I know that you've been in other pro, you have played other games professionally, and I'm not gonna talk about my pro days, because I think I've mentioned it in this show too many times, but I want to get your insight, and I want to get your opinion on how we can better the community and what you think about what happened in regards to the first post to the most recent one.
Okay, so the first post, meaning the one with the players being angry at no RCQ.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's a matter of the internet being the internet, right? People will complain that there are no RCQs, and then they gave them an RCQ in a format that anyone could play because it was a sealed format. And then they complained about that too. They started pointing fingers at different formats, right? I remember reading the comments saying things like, oh, the Commander has ruined Magic, which is a pretty common take among people who play Constructed. And I feel like it's not even Commander. I feel like it's WotC itself. They sell Commander product, they sell Commander exclusive product, they sell Commander decks. A bunch of their products have Commander on it. Even the latest sets that have like the little mini collections in them are cards that are only legal in like Commander and Modern. So you couple that with the fact that the only way these stores can get promo product is by doing sanction formats, and you get a lot of friction among the player base itself, right? The main thing that I notice here, and the main point of contention, is the fact that Magic has a bunch of formats. Because with other card games that I've played, right, there's usually one format, maybe two. And it's a lot easier to organize tournaments for it because everybody's kind of on the same page. And it gets, but with Magic the Gathering, it's a lot more murky because some people don't like sealed because they're like, oh, I paid all these money for these cards, why can't I use them? But then at the same time, you have people that love sealed because it brings it down to the base things that are in every card game, right? Or at least TCG, luck and skill, three things, luck, skill, and deck building, right? Because, like our friend Hector, he plays a lot of 1v1 Commander, but he's really, really, really good at sealed.
Yeah.
So it's this whole thing about how different players from different formats have like this animosity a lot of the time. Because, you know, a lot of Modern and Commander players are like, oh, nobody plays Standard. And then a lot of people that play Modern are like, oh, Pioneer's just nerf Modern. But then Pioneer players are like, no, Pioneer is fair Modern. And then you have, then you have Commander players like, oh, I don't want to spend $1,000 on a Modern deck and then turn around and buy a Mana Crypt. So this animosity between all of the different people who play the different formats, and they're kind of like, no, my way's the best, really complicates things for the store owners, right? I don't feel like the store owner handled things well with how he just did a call out post, considering LGS owners are more or less pillars of the community, right? Without LGS owners, there are no communities, and without communities, there are no LGS owners. We're symbiotic like that. So it could have been handled better, but at the same time, the players themselves being from, like, again, my way's better, I like it done this way, or I don't want to invest, or for example, with me, right? If I've already invested a bunch into Commander, so I don't want to go ahead and invest into Modern, right? Like, it was hard enough getting fetches for Commander. Getting four of each for Modern is going to kill me. So, and you see this same opinion in every other group, right? Because then you have Modern players going like, no, but you can play jank stuff and still win. But with Commander, you have a lot of expensive cards, right? Oh, what about the reserve list, right? And all this whataboutism about how I don't want to change to that way and change to this way, which is valid, because at the end of the day, it's a game we play for fun, and we play it in the way that's most fun for us. Mm-hmm. But that disconnect between people who want to play a certain way, and then Wizards of the Coast only allowing people playing certain way, or better yet, rewarding stores for making tournaments on certain formats, and then with a lot of the community depending on the area, because you know, Southwest, we have a lot of Southwest, West. We have a lot of Commander players, but then Northwest, it's a lot of Pioneer and Modern, and the same, and in Metro, they just play everything. So you have these very strange dynamics between the players themselves that just leads to the community going at each other's throats, and then that transfers into the LGSs. So that's sort of more or less my take on it. I'm relatively new to Magic, right? So at least compared to you two. So that's my main take on it. I feel like it should have been handled better, but it's not just one problem. It's the company, it's the LGS that have to be beholden to the company, but also beholden to the players, and the players and the company are not beholden to each other. And just it's an Ouroboros, right? It's snake eating its own tail.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that before I go ahead and go to JP, so like that, you guys can, for all of our listeners and viewers, give you guys some price ranges. So I'm only going to touch up on the top five decks right now for the metagame of Modern and Pioneer. Right now, the most expensive deck costs $1,654, and that is the 4-5 C Omnath deck. Then you have in second place, I would say in price, is $1,204. This is Rakdos Midrange. Mono Green, Living End will be the third one in regards to price, is $881. Mono Green Tron that made a triumph win in these past RCQs, with $584 being the how much did that cost. And lastly, Burn. This is the white red Burn deck that it cost $482 to build. Now in Pioneer, the prices vary. Rakdos Midrange at $629. Going next is Nykthos Ramp at $453, Rakdos Sacrifice at $424, then it goes Astorius Spirits at $243, and Mono White Humans at $209. So in the end of the day, when you see these prices, committing to a format is kind of hard. And as well, committing to, like, we're talking about Modern and Pioneer, but then if we go ahead and we talk about Standard, you're not only talking about metagame decks, we're talking about that in a certain amount of years, set will rotate, probably your $300 to $500 deck or more, right? Will go ahead and dissipate, because your powerful cards will rotate and then they'll become obsolete. So that means that you will have probably from 4 to 8 dead cards that will go tank in price because they have rotated and they're not relevant in any other format than Standard. So that can happen. So JP, give me your insight, your thoughts about the community, and as well, the situation in hand.
I agree with Gomez with most of the things he said about the LGS owner and the events being held. The community needs to be more together, like, because an LGS being at odds with the community and the community being at odds with LGS, it's supposed to be a symbiotic relationship. I do agree with that. There is something that I do feel like you guys mentioned, and about how I really do want to reiterate. Standard is very fickle. It's a very fickle thing to balance, and it's a very fickle thing to get into. Standard has been cheap. Like, at one point, Standard was very, very cheap, and it was probably the most Standard I've seen play in a long time, but as prices and as the MSRP on things has faded away, and Wizards of the Coast doesn't use MSRP anymore, and as power creep has encroached on the game, cards remain powerful enough to impact other formats to such an extent that they are equally as powerful in Standard and remain expensive. When they use the example of Shieldred the Apocalypse, it is a very expensive card at around 45 to 65, maybe more, dollars. It has been used in Vintage, Legacy, Modern. It sees play anywhere it can see play. It is such a strong card that because of that,
lowest value on a Shieldred is market price $60 for the Phyrexian version. Every other version is higher.
Basically, strong cards like that entice players from other formats to invest in the game, and that is good, but also keeps the price high for something like Standard. In my opinion, I feel like Standard should be very, very, very cheap, and as the other formats have a longevity, then I would understand. I still would prefer if they all of them were cheap, but I would understand that the longevity of the formats, and because of the nature of the cards, the reprints, everything else should be a bit more expensive. Because that is not the case, Standard suffers. Because Standard suffers, and players don't want to play Standard because nobody wants to be like basically losing money. Because at the end of the day, it is money. Mm-hmm. People don't play Standard. So people go to something like Pioneer. Pioneer has issues, but that's like Pioneer Modern have issues, and I think what John said, and what I agree with John is, it's mostly a Wizards of the Coast issue. They really need to fix a lot of the things with Modern and Pioneer. A lot of Modern cards that are in the ban list, I don't feel like they need to be in the ban list anymore. People have been talking about that in Twitter, or is it even called Twitter anymore? It's an X.
It's X now.
Whatever. they've been talking about that in social media, how a lot of cards, because of Modern Horizons 2, that introduced the evoke elementals and a lot of power creep cards, they're just not worth it anymore. I'm pretty sure Splinter Twin, which in my opinion, even when it got banned, was an unfair banning, would be fine right now. Because he's tapped out. I'm gonna play my Deceiver Exarch. I'm gonna play Splinter Twin. Okay, Fury, Solitude.
It's fine. To add to that, it's really interesting how, and again, coming from other card games, how Magic treats reprints as opposed to other card games. Because, for example, those of you, I don't know if you guys have played Yu-Gi-Oh, but Yu-Gi-Oh is the main format is an eternal format. It just has a ban list, where some cards are limited to 3, some to 2, some to 1.
A very expensive ban list.
Yeah, very extensive ban list. But the thing that Yu-Gi-Oh! Does a lot is because Konami kind of does not like secondary markets. They will let a meta deck run rampant for a couple months, but then immediately reprint it to the ground. Like we're talking, look, this is a collector's tin. It's $25. Here is this card that used to be $100. Oh, it's just the common in that tin and it's guaranteed. So that just makes everything tank, and they do this constantly.
That reminds me when Ash was like a very popular card.
Exactly, and now it's like a common in structure decks.
Exactly, and now like two set. I think when it was popular, I think it was 2 months later, then it became like a card that you can find in a tin, if I was not mistaken.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it got reprinted into a tin as a super rare, and then it got reprinted as a common in a structure deck.
So imagine that.
So wow,
I was gonna buy it at $30.
Well,
it's $7.
I think it's in the Alba Strike deck or something. I'm not sure. I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh in forever. But I kind of keep up a little bit, and I remember Ash being like one of the super crazy power cards that just Tour Guide from the Underworld. When Tour Guide from the Underworld came out, each one was 150. And it was a required three of in the deck. And then it wasn't even like 2 or 3 months later that it got put into a tin at Super Rare, went down to $5. No, wait, it got put into a special set where it was like a reprint set, kind of like a master set, but a little bit. They're called battle sets. They're kind of like Jumpstart, where you just open a couple boosters and just fight with them. And they got reprinted there as a rare, and then it got reprinted in a tin like a month later as a super. And Tour Guide went down to like.
And you can reprint cards as well in Speed Duel that you can use in your normal format. I'm not mistaken, you can use them in tournaments
as long as it's a card that has been printed in another format. You can play it in that format. Yeah, kind of like how Pokemon works with the older cards.
The only
thing
that it's not legal is that you cannot use cards that does not have the Speed Duel logo in Speed Duel. That's the only thing that you can't do. But in the other way around, you can. So if you find a card that costs $30 in one side and then it costs like a quarter in Speed Duel, then go ahead.
Yeah, it's really interesting how you have card games like that where they'll just reprint the crap things into the ground, but then you have WotC reserving reprints to sell boosters, right? Like look at right now Commander Masters, the Ur-Dragon, the Jeweled Lotus, right? They reprinted stuff like that, or they're gonna reprint stuff like that because
let's put the bigger example. I'm gonna look for all the versions. One of the cards, so one of the cards that has been reprinted a bajillion times recently is Doubling Season. And Doubling Season is still going for $50. And here it have a pre-sale for Commander the Masters for $45. So it still has not yet like tanked fully.
Because it only ever gets printed in either premium or things that are hard to get, because it's getting reprinted here and then it's going to get reprinted again in Eldraine.
But it's going to be a premium card
because it's hard to get. It's like the Ragavan, and although that did go down 50%, right? But that's the thing, they don't really reprint things. They kind of just reserve them for these special sets or to boost sales on standard sets, right? Because right now, the only reason, or obviously until more gets spoiled, but the only reason people are excited about Eldraine is those enchantments, right? Like every poor green player sees a glimmer of hope in that Doubling Season. Every person who plays white sees that Smothering Tithe, right? Every person who plays blue sees the Rhystic Study. And every person who plays black sees Necropotence, a card that has been $40 forever. So it's if they reprinted these in more, but that again, this brings us back to formats, right? They can't reprint it in a standard set because then it's going to be in standard again, and that's a problem. But then they can't make non-premium, but then they won't make non-premium reprint sets.
How long have we been waiting for the other set of fetch lands to be reprinted?
Crazy. And the other set of shock lands too. Oh, wait, no, the Shocklands came out, all of them in Unfinity.
Yeah, all of the Shocklands have come in, came out. But the Fetchlands, right now, you still, you know, at least for myself,
It's been since 2014, so.
It's almost 10 years.
You know, and the thing is that, let's say, for instance, myself, I'm missing a Flooded Strand and a, what was the other card? It's Flooded and Polluted Delta. To have them both, I have to waste around maybe $200, you know. That's me just saying like, you know, if I buy them at the highest price range, or if I buy them premium, you know, if I buy a Flooded Strand, an Expedition or something like that. And we still haven't gotten reprints of those lands. you know, and Wizard of the Coast did mention that they were going to reprint them in one of these sets, but how many sets have we been through already? And they still haven't given us a reprint, a hint. Oh, look, yeah, we're going to reprint them here.
And it's, and they're probably also not going to be in a standard set because they don't want them to make their way into Pioneer. So it's definitely going to be like a modern set.
They can be in a standard set. They're banned in Pioneer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So that you can just put them in a standard set and have no worries.
Yeah, or in a, they're probably going to also, because we haven't had a special mini set within the set for lands yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a legendary lands set, right? Because we have artifacts, creatures, and sorceries. We did? Zendikar. Yeah, Zendikar. Yeah, that's
Zendikar.
True.
Yeah, but didn't we get legendary lands in Kamigawa as well in the end?
No. Yeah, but I mean, like in the same vein as we're getting the enchantments, the mystical archives, the legendary artifacts, the schematic artifacts. Because even in, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because this is older than I've been playing. Even with the expedition lands, they were only box toppers, weren't they?
Yeah.
So no, it way. Wasn't. It,
they were available in the collector booster boxes.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like just in any booster you bought. It was in only collector premium boosters or box toppers. Because like right now, you open a Thrones of Eldraine draft booster, you might get a Necropotence or a Doubling Season. But we haven't had one of those for lands yet, where it's like they're in every booster, right? And I don't think we're getting one anytime soon because reprinting broken lands like that.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, going back to your example comparing Yu-Gi-Oh with Wizard of the Coast as a company, you know, it would be great, you know, to maintain these reprints and maintain that flow of price range around there. One of the things that I do like about having so many different artworks of the cards is that there's always one artwork that nobody likes.
Yep.
And that is the cheapest one.
Like the showcases from Modern Horizons 2, everybody hates the sketch.
Exactly.
I love the sketch.
And then the thing is that when you go ahead and sit down and you're like, okay, you know, I want to buy this card. It has a foil etch, it has a borderless, it has an extended, it has a showcase and the regular one. And this regular one has been reprinted at least 2 times. Okay, which one am I gonna get? Obviously, you're gonna look for the cheapest, for the one that's going for the cheapest price.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, but still, in this case, going back to the topic about the communities, you know what happened between the store owners and the community could have been managed differently. It could have been managed better. Because it's only a case of communication, and the thing is that. I have been in different chats of Magic the Gathering, and not only Magic the Gathering, I've been in chats in Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I used to sell cards in TCG Player, so I used to sell a little bit of everything for everybody, right? Communication is always key, and either way, there's communication. Some store owners don't listen.
That is correct, actually, because now that I think about it, I didn't even know that RCQ was going on until the owner complained about people not showing up. And even after that, the community themselves started posting, look, these are the upcoming tournaments at this store, this store, this store, this store. Let's support our RGS. The community has kind of tried, but for this specific instance, I didn't even know that was a thing.
For me, I didn't know that it was going to happen. I actually was gonna go because Carlos did mention it to me. He's like, hey, are you going to the RCQ? And I'm like, I really don't know, but are you going? And he said, he told me that he was not gonna go because he was in the States. He's going to be in the States in San Diego. So I told him like, well, if you're not going, I'm not going, because you know, usually what I'll do is that I'll just piggyback a ride with him like that. My wife can stay with our car. And I'll go to the tournament with him, right? But again, you know, the main complaint, the one of the main things that the community needs to understand is that if you are a person or a player that wants to go pro, you know, that you want to try and be that first Puerto Rican to be in Worlds or in to be in that webcam on a Magic event, you have to get used to through all the formats. You have to know how to play Standard. You know, you have to know how to play Modern. You have to know how to play Pioneer. And the main two formats of it's Draft and Sealed, because those two formats will never go. Just imagine the fact that you go to a, I was gonna say Pro Tour, but that does not exist anymore.
MGP.
You go to one of these big events and you're like, hey, I have my Modern deck in hand, and I have my whatever of any other format in hand. And then the judge tells you, did you know that the event is Draft? What are you going to do? You have to play it.
Yeah.
You already invested your money in the event. You know, what if that event is the one that takes you to Worlds or takes you to a bigger tournament that you can become a name? You can make a name for yourself in the Wizard of the Coast community as a pro player. You know, that's the only thing that that's the only thing. I'm gonna put a big example in here. So when you want something to make it, if you want something to make it work, sit down with your community, sit down with the people that play the game and ask them, hey, what do you guys want? What is it that it's much more easier for you guys to manage? You know, because I'm not going to go ahead and be like, I want to open a tavern, and I'm going to be like, JP, what you like? You like draft beer, or you like can or glass beer sealed glass? If JP tells me, hey, I really don't mind, it could be either three. But then let's say that Gomez tells me, no, dude, I like draft beer and artisanal beer. That's it. So, okay, now I have to start a poll. Okay, what is my community, what do they like? Am I going to invest in my tavern to have exclusive draft beer and as well have the rest of the have other types of beers just for a little bit for everybody? Or am I only going to focus in one section only? It's good to know what your community wants, because it will affect it. And we will get to a point that nobody's gonna care. And we're just gonna play Magic.
Or they're just gonna be jaded. They're not gonna care anymore. They're just gonna play Magic and wherever.
Exactly. You know, and this is where I come from, and I have thought about it. Lorcana is on its way. Lorcana is the Disney card game. I still don't know how to play it, but one, it has attractive artwork. Two, it at least for what I've read and heard, it feels like Magic the Gathering, and as well, it has a good play style. If this card game is gonna be like Flesh and Blood, it's gonna be amazing, it's gonna be fun, but if you don't support it, you're gonna have a stack of decks and cards that
it happened are... look at older games, Force of Will, newer games like One Piece, although they're having a pretty big resurgence now, a lot of LGSs are playing more tournaments for it. But it after set one, because of the supply issues, that game went into a coma for like a month.
Yep.
And people had spent bank on it because some of those alternates are really expensive. So, but we come to it again, like it's that disconnect between the company, the LGS, and the players. Like the LGS wants to bring in product, but the company couldn't provide it, or the players won't come to some stores. Or some players just because there's already so many card games, some smaller stores can only run one card game a day. And then let's say they play on a Tuesday, not everybody could go to to the LGS on a Tuesday, and all of these things just add up.
That's why I miss when Wizard of the Coast had like organized events like Friday Night Magic, the Standard Showdowns. And that was something that was really fun. Standard Showdowns I'm not mistaken. Standard Showdowns, depending on the local game store, is when the showdown would have been. You know, some stores were at least here in the West. Not in the West, it was. A store did them on Friday, another one did them on Saturday, and another one did them on Sunday. So it's three events, one between the other. But I don't know, like, I'm still going to mention it. This could have been run a very, very differently. It could have been managed a different way. You guys, do you guys have any idea, like, what you guys think that the community should do? Letting it be that we do have a full group community on Facebook, what do you guys think that the community should do to better up this situation?
I mean, I feel like the best way for the community, especially all the different format communities, to come together is something like Sealed, where everybody just buy some boosters, cracks them, and plays with them. It's something literally anybody from any format could get into. Pioneer people can play a sealed event. Modern people, standard people, commander people can play a sealed event. It doesn't matter. It's just these cards that you got.
But that would require skill.
Yeah, that would require reading cards. That's
reading cards, skill,
figuring out synergy without a net deck.
Yeah, exactly. Like I know a lot of people that I don't like it, and it's not because of the luck. It's just they suck at making decks.
Yep.
And they suck at just playing. It's just like,
yeah,
the general.
I personally suck at making decks too. Like usually, what happens for me is I get blown up round one, and then the person that blew me up was like, "Come here, let me see your draft, because you couldn't have been that bad." And then he looks at my pulls and is like, "You should have gone Azorius," and here I am playing Gruul. So then I'll switch my deck around and have a little bit more success, right? But I definitely understand that a lot of people, like, just a lack of skill or a lack of game sense, right?
That's where Arena comes in. If you guys don't want to blow your cash in a local game store, just play Arena.
So you can blow your cash online.
Exactly. or do what a lot of people do. Grind the living shit out of it.
Yeah, I just did hybrid. I grinded my LGS for promo packs, and then I used the codes to play Pioneer in Arena. I'm a proud owner of four digital Shieldreds.
Yeah, I did the same thing, and I'm a proud owner of like all the meta decks in Historic.
Yeah, so I feel like the best thing for the community is for them to find a format that everybody can play with little investment, so they can support the LGS more uniformly, right?
Popper.
Yeah, but Popper can also get pretty crazy, which is funny, because Popper is like, yes, if you're poor, play Popper, and then you have Popper cards that are like, yes, $20.
I remember when Gush was like $25.
Yep.
I was like, holy shit.
So that's the thing. There needs to be either that, or I don't know, man, because it's really hard for players to,
yeah,
like look at Commander, for example, right? I only need one of each copy. So if I want to play any other format, I need to get three other copies of a card, and then vice versa. If I'm in another format, I could have four of one expensive cards, and then I only use one of them, and the other one's just in a box or in my binder somewhere. So it can be very disheartening switching formats like that for like more casual people.
Or for or like I do, you know, I'm main Shurikai. So all my expensive cards are in Shurikai. So if one day I want to play Lathro, I have my proxy cards there. And the proxy cards do say Lathro. So whatever I take from one, I put it in the other. So if I take my rocks from Shurikai, I put the Lathro proxy there, like that I can know where the cards are. You know, it's another way.
Yeah, the same thing happens with me. Like, I play mostly Grixis, like Dimir in red. It's like Dimir, Rakdos, and Grixis. So every time I build a deck, I'm like, oh, this has black in it. Guess I gotta start proxying stuff because I'm not gonna get another Devonic Tutor, another Shield Jet, another Necropotence. And of course the rocks, like Cheerios are crazy. So it's really rough. But yeah, I feel like it's either the LGSs themselves or the players could find a happy medium or just run multiple events. The main offender, the main problem here is Commander, because LGSs get nothing out of doing Commander tournaments because they don't count as sanctioned. So they have to just do a Friday Night Magic where everybody plays for fun and then report it as a Pioneer tournament or something, and then just give everybody a promo and call it a night, which for some people can be disheartening because then you see the modern players just, you know, testing their skill, holding each other against each other, and then we're just like playing for funsies, but we're playing CDH decks for funsies and we just get a booster and thank you for coming. So it's also pretty the discrepancy is really difficult to say, especially for Commander, right? Because it's not sanctioned. If Commander didn't exist, it would probably be a more harmonious community, but it exists and it's fun. So
yeah, so JP, what do you say, what do you think?
No, like the truth is I don't think I could use better words than what Gomez just said. I think you really encapsulated everything.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah. You just went at it.
He did. He was like, I'm gonna start shooting at the... I'm just kidding. You know, so just to close down today's podcast, right? Today's podcast. So you guys just communicate with your local game store, communicate with your community, have fun and keep playing. As well, one of our very, very most important advice, buy singles. That's the most important advice that we give here in the Cardboard Cave. So buy singles, don't buy boxes, just, you know, buy what you need.
So give it to the whales and then buy singles off them.
Exactly. or like what most of, at least for what I do. Carlos, are you buying the box? Yes. Okay. I want this.
Yeah. Like forwards the TCG player link.
Yeah, like this is what I need.
This is what I need.
You know, like for instance, Commander Masters is going to be releasing this Friday, and the only thing that I'm looking for is the borderless Fierce Guardianship. That's the only thing I need.
I need the guardianship, the like all three of the like good ones, guardianship, Rolic, and SWAT. I want them in borderless because they're all like specifically deflecting SWAT, where it's just Corvold making fun of a poor sap who tried to go kill him. And as somebody who has been on the receiving end of a Corvold, I understand that poor sap. Because like Mike, if you're out there, I have nightmares. I really like the Commandeer and the Personal Tutor, which plummeted to like $12 for the full art. So those are pretty good cards that I'm going to be looking for from there, because I don't really need the Lotus. I have a Lotus.
Same here.
But yeah, just a couple of staples. I don't really need and also if I can get my hands on one of the side profile Yurikos, but that's just a pet card. I don't have to get it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that for me, it's only Fierce Guardianship. Probably I'll get Personal Tutor as well, because it's a card that I would need in Shurikai. Yeah. But at least those are just the common cards that I would need. But thank you for everybody that has been watching us tonight or listening to us tomorrow on all of our audio formats, especially in Spotify and in Apple Podcasts. So let's go ahead, round table. So Gomez, where can the people find you in social media?
Oh God, just off of my name, really. I don't have a... Just on my... Most of my social media is something related to Sal Boricua, which is like...
Okay.
Puerto Rican salt. So my Facebook, you'll find me through that. Instagram, you'll find me on that. And what else am I on? I don't think I'm on anything else, like Reddit, but I only browse, I lurk. So...
Okay.
You know... but I mostly post on Instagram and Facebook.
Amazing. So JP, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me here, the Cardboard Gay Podcast, talking about cardboard. How about you, John?
So guys, you guys can always find me here in the Cardboard Cave, but especially at Reel In Films. My website or my social media, all of them is Reel In Films. I post movie news, reviews, and interviews. So if you guys want to see some interesting interviews, go ahead and pass by to the YouTube channel. I interviewed the costume designer of the second season and first season of This Fool that is available now at Hulu. And as well, Hulu sent me a media kit where there's a lot of product from the series as well, if you guys want to see that unboxing. And we have a lot of reviews that are up and coming in these past few weeks. And we're going to have an interesting review / unboxing because we're going to do our first, probably Blu-ray or DVD unboxing of a film that Mel Gibson comes out. So expect that in social media, and there's more to come.
Are you setting it on fire after? Or?
No. And as well, one of the most recent interviews that I will be getting ready for is that on August 30th, I will be interviewing the director of a film called Aristoteles and the I don't remember the title fully, but it starts with Aristoteles. One of the producers is Lin-Manuel Miranda. So I will be interviewing the director of that film. So
Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe?
Yes, that one. So if you guys want to just get up to date, follow me on all my social media at reelinfilms.com. Now go to altarsleeves.com/cardboardcave to get 5% off your altar sleeves to spice up your decks and make them look pretty. Your purchase will help us grow as well. And when Kick starts working properly, we will be moving forward 100% to Kick. But for now, we're going to continue Twitch until we get that fixed. So see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
Remember to follow, like, subscribe to be notified, and as well listen to us on all major audio platforms. Thanks for joining.